microphone? Okay, good morning. All right, how are we doing this morning? February, happy birthday to everyone born in February. All right, we have a few announcements for you to start. Jessica, when you're ready, you can come on up.
A quick reminder that we are hoping to get a preschool program started by March 1st. We really need this, guys. So with that, I need all of the kids to come up. Yes, all the kids come up again. I need you guys. So if you are currently helping in the children's programs, in any children's program, can you stand up? If you are currently helping in any children's program, please stand up. Look at all the people standing. Kids, what do we say to our helpers who are helping to teach us about Jesus? What do we say?
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, stay standing, because kids, go around and hand these out. Oops, not those two. Hand these out to any adults who are not standing. I am asking that you guys please pray to see how you can help one Sunday per month. So anybody who's sitting, go ahead and give these. And then you guys, after you give out your papers, may go back to Miss Bonnie, okay? Here we go. Oh, not yet. Oh, I'm sorry. Not yet. Oh, okay, there we go. Hand them out to anybody sitting. If you did not get a piece of paper, please let somebody know. Oops. Okay, so I do want to let you know we need a total of 8 leaders. Okay, kids, go ahead and sit back. I was misunderstood. I thought I was coming up right before you guys dismissed. We do need a total of 8 leaders, and we have had 2 step up so far. So thank you all who currently serve, and thank you for those who are praying about serving in the future.
It's good to see you this morning. So I was asked if I would just give you a little overview of what we do for care team. So part of that is an extension of the church in terms of whatever pastor needs us to do, within reason, you know, not, you know, preaching or anything. But anyway, no, we send out your birthday cards, your anniversary cards. That's another thing. We'd like to update that directory again. We'd like to get pictures in there so you guys can connect the faces with the names and addresses and stuff. We pray for y'all if we know of needs, and you can get a hold of us at any time through the week, and we'll be praying for you. We were the ones that did the T-shirt contest and different things. What else? We Thanksgiving turkey dinners. We plan certain functions within the year. We do visitations if we're aware of that, and if you would like us to do that with your loved ones. And we're going to expand this year with different things that we'll have going on as we learn what the Lord has for us as a mission, as a church, and I think we know what that is. So, sure, we're open to anybody that wants to be a part of it. And we kind of move the days around sometimes to accommodate people that are working and different things going on. So if you feel like you want to be a part of that, we'd love to have you be a part of it.
There's a form on the podium.
Okay, there's a form out there. So. Yes, once a month, unless we need to meet otherwise. So keep that in mind. Be in prayer for it. Short enough?
Okay. We're still trying to get ourselves where we need to be in the order of things, so bear with us as we make our mistakes and as we go forward with that. I'm going to read to you, first of all, real quick, from Acts. And I want to read this to you because I think we need to understand where we're at. The book of Acts, chapter 2, starting at verse 17. And in the last days, we're in the last days. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now that's taken from Joel. So this is Peter preaching this again. We live in that day. God's spirit is being poured out right now. Keep that in mind as we go through today. Ephesians, starting at verse 11. We're just going to rehash this. I'm not going to read all of it again. In him you have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. Remember that we was the people had come there before. It would be the Jews included in that. So that we could be the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. In him. The you that is there again is the church in Ephesus, which was mostly Greek believers, Gentiles, if you will. And last week, when we were going through that whole set of verses from 3 down through 14, we looked at the plan of salvation that was for all of mankind, that was laid out for us in those 12 verses. It has been said that if John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell, that these 12 verses are the tree it fell from. And I really like that, so I wanted to share that with you. In these verses, we see the Trinity. We see God the Father, his plan is fulfilled in God the Son, Jesus Christ. And then when we repent of our sin and turn to God, we receive part of our inheritance, which is the Holy Spirit. Once, before we were in Christ, we were in Adam, if you will, and our inheritance was death and separation from God. And because of sin, condemnation, hellfire, eternal destruction awaited us. But now, in Christ, because of God's plan, we are saved from our sin, sanctified in the truth, and sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And that is awesome to me. As a result of your faith, you are now in Christ. Jesus made the way. It's available to everyone, but it's by grace through faith that you are saved. And now we are also blessed by being holy and blameless, sanctified unto the Lord. In love, you have adoption, redemption, forgiveness of sins. Grace is lavished upon us, upon all the children, all of his children. And we know the mystery of his will, are part of his plan. Have an inheritance, and you will one day receive your full inheritance as a child of the living God. Amen. This is a spoiler alert, so if you haven't read it till the end, here it is. In the last book of the Bible, in the 21st chapter, we get a hint of what that will look like. God will be with us as our God. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain. And we will have access to the tree of life. But for now, we have the Holy Spirit. He's the down payment of what is to come. Amen. That is awesome. We need to give praise for that. Hallelujah to the Lord. Do we really grasp that? That the Holy Spirit has been poured out for his people. That we have access to the very throne of grace through the Spirit. That we are empowered and enabled. God, the Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. That's who we have. And if I told, as I told you last week, and I quoted what they said about John Wesley, the last thing that he said was, the best of all is God with us. God with us in the form of the Spirit. God with us. In Christ, as a child of God, a saint, you have been given the gift of the Spirit. Romans 8:9 refers to the third person of the Trinity as the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit. It's all the same person, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, if you will. So when we read of of the prayer in chapter 3, which was alluded to earlier, we get a deeper understanding of what was prayed for us. And I want to go over that prayer. I want you to listen. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The Spirit of Christ resides in the hearts of believers. The Holy Spirit, Spirit of Christ. He empowers us to live up to our part in God's plan. He's empowering you to live up to your part in God's plan for mankind, for the church, for our congregation of God's church. We are empowered and strengthened and indwelled with the Spirit of God. You, as His child, are a child of the King, blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We are being saved, and we are saved. We are being sanctified, but we are sanctified. That's one of those already but not yet things. We need to grasp that. We need to understand it. We have received and a down payment on the inheritance that is to come. Confirmation of the Spirit's presence in our lives, in your lives and in mine, is seen as He makes us aware that we are indeed redeemed and made a part of the family of God and our heirs with Christ. That the Bible tells us all about that. And that confirmation should be known by you. You should know that you are saved by the Spirit's presence in your life. Then after that, we see the influences of the Spirit in the change that takes place. I would love to know where you've come from to get where you're at. Because whatever it was is behind. It's under the blood. It's water under the bridge, as they say. It's gone because of the Spirit. You're no longer the person you were. You've been made new. And with the influence of wisdom that God gives us, brings understanding into the ways of God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians here, chapter 2, real quick. I'm going to read to you verses 6 through 16. I have to get back a page. Yet among the mature, we do not impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. Yet among the mature, we do not impart wisdom, right? Although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, what no eye has seen nor ear heard, not the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. And who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except for the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The mature person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are not spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The very Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit resides within you, is giving you the wisdom you need to understand the mysteries that are contained in God's Word. He reveals them to us. He opens our eyes to them. The Spirit enables believers to understand all that we have in Christ. Those outside of Christ, unbelievers, are unable to understand the truths of God's Word, since they have no spiritual discernment to judge. We get to judge spiritually the things that the Spirit reveals to us. He opens our eyes and our hearts to what He has for us. In 1 Corinthians 17 and 18. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the very power of God. One of the things that's a lot of controversy within the church is what then the Holy Spirit does. Because unfortunately, some of these can be faked. That's the best way to put it. We have the gifts of the Spirit that are given to all His saints. Did you hear that part? All. Everyone. Every person that is a born-again Christian has been gifted by the Spirit. Those special abilities are given for the common good of His church, for the congregation where those spiritual gifts are given to be used within the church. And it has to start right where we're at. To each, this is 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And that's from the English Standard Version. The New Living Translation puts it like this. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. For the common good. So that we can help each other. The fourth thing that He gives is confirmation or evidence of the Spirit, as confirmation or evidence of the Spirit, is one that is seen and experienced in how the attitude or nature of a person is changed by Him. Usually a person that has the Spirit of God has a new outlook on life, with the fruit of the Spirit being the evidence of His presence in our lives. And I know that I have that marked. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to start at verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Live by the power of the Spirit. Right? Going on. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Ouch. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Here's the one I have trouble with. Self-control. Especially when there's a plate of cookies. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Your translations may say it a little differently. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. How do we do that? Through the Spirit, who empowers and enables us to do just that. You see, being sealed with the Spirit is beyond the experience of initial salvation, though the Spirit is present and has led us to that point through prevenient grace, which we talked about. The seal of the Spirit, as I have come to understand, and from what I understand of God's Word, is the promise of God being with you, encouraging you, helping you until you receive your full inheritance, either at His coming or your going. But that does not guarantee our continued salvation. The writer of Hebrews tells us, it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, talking about heaven, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance. It's impossible for us, but it's not impossible with God. Going on. This is from, that was 6:4, and the rest of this is from 10 in Hebrews chapter 10. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, past tense, so they were sanctified, they've fallen, and has outraged, the wrath of God is now upon them, the Spirit of grace. Wow. 2 Peter has even more to say about that. Starting in, this is 2 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 15. Forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgression. A speechless donkey spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. For them the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. The promise they promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. For if they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The last state has become worse for them than the first. They knew the way. They knew the Holy Spirit. They were walking in the Lord, and they fell away because they were drew away. And it was their own choice. For it would have been better for them to have never known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returned to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. Ouch. The moment that you repent of your sins and turn to God, you receive the seal of the Spirit. We all understand that. You are at that moment saved, sanctified, and sealed. Saved from your sin, sanctified unto the Lord. Saved from, saved to. You now belong to Him. You've been bought at a price. No outside force can take away your salvation. Nothing. I'm not going to go read it, but I want you to mark this down and read it for yourselves. See Mark 7, 21 through 23. It's the things from within that corrupt us. It is the things from within that turn us from God. You see, you can still forfeit your salvation, but you can never lose it. I lose my car keys on a regular basis. Oh, we won't even talk about my cell phone. I can do that really easy. You can't lose your salvation, but you can choose to forfeit it. You can choose to hand it over because you choose something other than God. Read Romans 1. You, as a mature believer, or even as a believer, let me rephrase that. You, as you mature, that's better, will grieve the Spirit in doing wrong or in not doing right. David committed adultery with Bathsheba and had Uriah killed. Right? David was a man after God's own heart. You see, what David did was he confessed his sin and turned from it. He repented. But still, he suffered the consequences of that sin. But God did not leave him. I saw an example where the professor comes up front and he says, here's the test. But you haven't taught us anything. The Holy Spirit never leaves us. The test is what we're going through right now. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever I'm going through. We are being taught as we are being tested. We are being strengthened as we are being tested. And God allows the tests. I don't believe that He makes every test, though there are, I am sure there are some that we face because He wants us to. Peter denied Christ 3 times. Did Christ leave him? No. He did ask him some questions. Same one, 3 times, 3 different ways. But he never left him. Because Peter was after Christ. He was for Christ. In the moment, yes, he fell, he denied, but he turned back. And we need to remember that. God will not leave you or forsake you every time you do something wrong. But if you insist and persist in your sin, God will, as I told you earlier, hand you over, give you up to your sin. If he's giving people up to their sin. He's handing them over to their sin. They are at that point separated from God because they wanted their sin more than they wanted Him. We have to regard, we have to have a high regard for the blood that was shed for us. We have to have a high regard of the life that was given for us. You see, the purpose of the Spirit is to lead us, to convict us, to help us to be what we're called to be, to purify us, perfect us, convict us, lead us. In order, in order to forfeit the seal of the Spirit, you will have to be living in sin. Does that make sense? Practicing sin. I want this more than I do you, Lord. And that's how you, I use the word lose, but forfeit your salvation. You have no regard for the blood that was shed. Nothing. Each of us, as Christians, as Christ followers, as believers, must decide to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires and allow the Spirit to lead us. That's a decision that we have to make daily. We must be able, with Paul, to say, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Very personal. Because that's what he is to you. He is a very personal relating God. And we have that relationship through the Spirit as the down payment of what is to come when we will spend eternity with God. One last bit of scripture. Romans chapter 8. Turn to Romans 5, one of my favorite verses. Romans 8. I'm going to read to you 1 through 17. Bear with me on this. This is very important for us. Paul has just got done telling about how he had struggled with before he came to know the law. And then once he knew the law, how the law was trying to make him sin because he knew it but didn't really want to do it. But thanks be, this is verse 25 from verse chapter 7. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Right? That's where he's at. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's all gone. That's away. That's been done away with. We now have Christ. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. You're set free from that. You don't have to participate in that, in what the world's doing. You have the very Spirit of God to empower you to step away from that, to turn from it. It says to flee, that God provides a way out when we're tempted. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. There's that verse that names all three. Spirit, Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ. 10. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, it's been crucified, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's that power that Steve talked about, right? That's the power that's within us. The very power that raised Christ from the dead is residing in you. That should excite you. That should empower you to go forth and be bold in your witness. I had too much coffee. Verse 12. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. How are we to put to death the deeds of the flesh? By the Spirit. For all those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. All those who are led by are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by whom we cry, Abba Father, Daddy, Daddy God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Wow. Those are some very big promises that we have in Christ. Church. As those so spiritually blessed, enabled and empowered and led by the Spirit, we are then, through all of that, given a mission to go. To go. Make disciples. To disciple people unto the Lord. To bring them to the Lord. That's what it means. You don't have to, as I keep telling, I think it's a class, I probably mentioned it more than anything else. You don't have to close the deal. You can't save anyone. But the Spirit working through you can lead them to the place where they can make a decision. And we just need to be bold enough to and empowered enough and enabled enough to do so. And we are. And we are. The message that we are to share need not be shared in plausible words of wisdom, nor need we to be clever and persuasive. We don't have to do that. Paul wasn't. He talked about that. We just need to share the gospel in the power of the Spirit. Take a moment and think about the opportunities that have gone the way of the water under the bridge. Because we were afraid. Notice I included myself. Because we were timid. But God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, or however you want to pronounce it, but of power and love and self-control. That same power is yours this morning. That same power enables you to step away from your sin, to make a decision to follow him, to commit your life to him, to be his in every aspect of your life, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing. Are you going to embrace it? Or grieve the Spirit? As the praise team comes up, I would remind you that the altars are open, that the Spirit of God awaits, and he wants to awaken you to what he has for you. Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, Savior, Creator of heaven and earth, you are God, and you have empowered us and enabled us through your Spirit to live for you and not for ourselves. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would stir hearts this morning, that you would convict of sin, because that is your presence, that is your power, that is the grace of God in action. That, Lord, you would work in us and through us to create a congregation that is bold in their witness, to create people, individuals of that congregation who are not afraid to share. Open our eyes, Lord, to who you are. In Jesus' name, fill us with your Spirit anew and afresh. Amen. Think about how the Holy Spirit is with you right now. Think about how you are indwelled and empowered and enabled to do what God has called you to do. That you are gifted with the presence of the Spirit. We're not just gifted with gifts. The gift that we actually receive is the Spirit. And he dwells in your hearts. Just take a moment and think about that. Think about how much he loved you to give you his Spirit. Would you join me in prayer? Father, as we go throughout this week, as we go back to work or back to our homes or back out into the world, Lord, let us remember that you go with us, that you reside within our hearts, and that, Lord, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace.